And good morning, everybody. And thank you for coming, because I think what I'm going to be dealing with this morning is about distraction and how easily we are distracted. But I'm going to first off by saying thank you, because I think probably this is one of the hardest weekends of the year not to opt out and to come on a Sunday morning. We've got the sun shining. I believe we've got the Antiques Roadshow not far away, so if anybody feels that I'm not talking about what they want to talk about, please feel free to go to the Antiques Roadshow. I'm just glad my wife's not here. And I feel like I've opted out this morning myself, because I'm in the middle of moving house, my washing machine's broke this morning, my son came back from holiday in the middle of the night, so I feel like I'm opting out myself coming here this morning. But I do thank you for not opting out and actually coming and carrying on that run that we have towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The one thing that interests me, the one thing that motivated me to talk about this, is that it says, so I do not run aimlessly. I've took it upon myself, don't know why, maybe it was to lose weight, but I've decided to run 110Ks before I was 50. I'm up to 77. I still don't know why I'm doing it. I've still not lost a pound in weight. And to me, it feels like I'm running aimlessly. One of the biggest things I've got, and maybe the reason I am running is for that discipline. Because I read a book recently. So in my work, I do data and calculations. And I started to work from home and really struggled with all the distractions that I found at home. So I read a book about deep thinking, about being able to concentrate on what I do in my work. And I knew that would help me in my ecclesial life. But at the time, and this is probably one of the reasons I'm moving house, there was at least five people in my house all the time moving around and doing things. And then there were our phones. And when I'm talking about distraction, think about your top three things for me. I know I'm going to distract you, but that's on purpose. Think about the top three things that distract you in your life. One of mine is sat here in front of me. Think of three things that distract you and that take you away from doing whatever you need to do. So working from home, I had phones, I had newspapers, I had emails, I had the TV in the background. I had what I call wombles now. There were wombles walking around my house constantly distracting me. Two children and a wife that came every now and again. So I had all these distractions. And then I had a window cleaner that constantly wanted to talk to me every time he came. He knocked on the window and wanted a half an hour chat. I'm sure I could actually see the grass growing outside, because every time it grew over a certain level, then I wanted to get my lawnmower out and start doing it. Anything to take me away from what I had to do. Even the coffee machine became such an important part of the daily working life that once I got to a point that I think I didn't really like to challenge myself with, I think I took myself off to the coffee machine and made myself a long coffee and then saw the grass and then cut the grass, gradually getting back to my work an hour later. And as anybody that works from home will tell you, you then end up working till 9 o'clock at night because you don't get your work done. So I read this deep thinking book. And yes, it was helpful. It talked about certain aspects of how to condition your mind. It gave two examples that I found quite interesting, but very unhelpful. One of them was about J.K. Rowling, because on her last and final book, I'm sure people will be able to tell me which one it is afterwards, she had writer's block. So she was struggling with distraction. So J.K. Rowling decided that she wanted to take herself off to a local hotel, in brackets expensive, and occupied one of their suites for 3 months. And I worked out that at the daily rate that she would pay at this particular hotel in Edinburgh on the main street, about £400 a night, it probably cost her in the region of about £80,000 to have this space. So I kind of thought, that one's not going to help me. I would like to do it, but I don't think it's going to help me, because I just don't want to spend £80,000 to get away from my distractions. And the other one was the writer of the book. And there's some ways I quite like what he did. He had a family, he had three children, he was an academic, I think from New York, but he had a lakeside cabin. So he whenever he wanted to deep think, whenever he wanted to get study completed, he would take himself off to the lakeside cabin at the side of the lake, away from all his family, and start working there for months on end. Now again, I quite like the idea of this, however I think my wife and everybody else in my life wouldn't like me to do that. So this book was completely unhelpful to me. And distraction is massive in society now. I'm distracted so much as even when I am running, I will see something to the left or to the right, and my mind will drift. And sometimes I've even stopped and gone to have a look at what was happening, probably just too curious a person. And then I thought about those three distractions that I have in my life and you have in your life, and I thought, are those three things not only distracting me in my everyday life, but are they distracting me in my walk to the kingdom? And I had to get my mind back to how I was going to be able to work. Or in our case this morning, how do we get back to be able to run on that race that Paul talks about in those words in Corinthians? Because he does give us, every athlete exercises control in all things. They do it for a perishable wreath, a bit like my running 10Ks, but we do it for imperishable. So it's important that we do try to manage our lives. We do try to manage how we, every Sunday morning, how we come along and our readings. We do try to manage, we've got to try and manage that study that we need. And we've also got to manage how we need each other and how we cope with the distractions of each other in our fellowship, in our walk together. How many times we read our Bibles together, how many times we do the daily readings together. Because we can really drop out of our ecclesial life if we do get distracted. And I think when you start thinking about those three things that you have in your life that do distract you, how many hours do you spend on those? One of the other methods, I work with a mental health charity, and the word mindfulness comes up a lot. So in the middle of all this deep thinking, in the middle of all this drive that I had to become more studious, I thought I'd try mindfulness for a month. Again, it happened to be around the time that I was travelling to London quite a lot. Which is quite difficult when you've got such a busy environment. Mindfulness says that you can meditate and concentrate even in noise. You can recognise a sound, or you can recognise what somebody says to you, but you can move it along. You don't have to make up a story about it in your mind. You can try and identify where a noise is coming from. You can hear the fan. You can feel the breeze coming through the window. You don't have to start making stories about those things in your head. You can move them on. Jesus was an absolute master of controlling his mind, of mindfulness. He demonstrated focus. He demonstrated deep thinking. He never got distracted. Jesus had the mental strength to cope with any situation, even from a young age. He had the stability in his purpose. He remained concentrated on the task at hand. His whole character, if you like, demonstrated a complete control and purpose in his life. I've got a few chapters or a few words that I think demonstrates this. Turn to Mark chapter 1, please, and verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everybody is looking for you, everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. Because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So Jesus knew and had control and had purpose. He knew what his mission was. And to some aspects, however much we try and put that out of our minds, we know what our purpose is. We know what we have to do each and every day to become better disciples. What about control again with Jesus? Luke 4, verse 28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they may throw him down over the cliff. This is the control again that Jesus shows. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Same chapter, verse 16. Now the Passover of the Jews was as at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. When he made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple and with sheep and oxen, and poured out the changers of money and overturned the tables. And he said to them who sold doves, "Take these things away, do not make my father's house a house of merchandise." And then his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal for your house has eaten me up." So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us, since you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Again, control and purpose. Jesus knew he needed to keep control. He knew his purpose was to follow his father's words. John 7, another example. And when you're looking through these examples, try and think how Jesus stayed so single-minded to his purpose. Try to think how he controlled his actions and his words. And most importantly for this morning's learning, how he stayed focused and not distracted on that journey. Because that's how we're going to challenge ourselves when we have to go out in the world again. That's how we're going to challenge ourselves to be able to cope with the many distractions society throws at us today. The access to the internet. I'm not saying these are all bad things, I'm saying just be careful that some of these things don't distract us on the walk. Because these things can also help us on our walk each and every day as well. But it's us, it's our character, and that's what Jesus showed. John 7. From the beginning. After these things, Jesus walked into Galilee. He did not want to talk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples may also see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to him, and this is the control, this is the purpose that Jesus has. "My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that its works are evil. You go up to the feast, I am not yet going to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come." When he said these things, he said he remained in Galilee. Complete control. Complete following of his Father's word. His purpose was absolute in his mind. Let's go for our final verse before I start testing you on your distractions for the last 5 minutes. And let's go to John 7 again. Verse 28. Because this is Jesus crying out in the temple again, demonstrating that control and purpose in his life. "Then Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, 'You both know me, and you know where I am from. I have not come of myself, but he that has sent me is true, whom you do not know. I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me.' His purpose, therefore," verse 30, "therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid hand on him, because his hour had not yet come." So even at that point, Jesus operated control and purpose. And that's what we have to try and put into our lives. That's what we have to work out for ourselves. Everybody's got different characters. Everybody has different ways of getting from A to B in a learning they have to do. Jesus learned his Father's words off by heart. I'm not sure many of us could do that now. He had that dedication and lack of distraction to be able to do that. We have our Bibles ready and with us for those moments where we do become distracted in our lives. Jesus always prayed at the moment he needed help from his Father. Jesus always prayed when he needed help. And then lastly, he spent a lot of time with others. with friends, in fellowship, with people that didn't distract him away. Yes, he had people with him that he had to teach lessons, he had people to heal, but he had disciples with him to help him. So when you think for the next 5 minutes about those three distractions, bring them back into your mind. Think about how you can deal with those distractions by talking to others, as Jesus did, by prayer, as Jesus did, and by learning his words, his Father's words from the Bible, as Jesus did. Thank you.